Blog Talk Radio.
So the Most High is going to stop the flowing of the people going into that country. Read.
Jeremiah chapter 51, the end of verse 44. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Verse 45. My people, go ye out of the midst.
Hold up, read that again.
My people, go ye out of the midst.
I think within this chapter, he said, flee and get out of around 3-4 times. Right? Read.
My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Most High Ahiah. And let your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor. And
wars and rumors of wars. You hearing about it, and because it's not happening, you think it's not going to happen. Read.
Verse 46, end of verse 46. And violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Verse 47. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. And her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth, and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon. For the spoiler shall come up unto her from the north, saith the Most High Ahiah. As Babylon hath called the slain of Israel to fall, so as Babylon shall call the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away. Stand not still. Remember the Most High Ahiah afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind.
Listen to this clear. Ye that have escaped the sword, that means you escape the destruction that's coming to Babylon, go away and stand not still. So when you leave, remember the power or the God Ahiah afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. That looking forward, not looking back. Now let Jerusalem come into your mind. She's finished. Right? Read.
Verse 51. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers are coming to the sanctuary of the Lord's house.
Strangers have destroyed us. Strangers have destroyed our sanctuary, our belief. They destroyed our understanding so that we cannot connect to our God. They've given us their gods. Baal, Baal, Satan, the dragon, Moloch. These are the gods we've been worshiping ignorantly. Jesus. Zeus. Okay, we ain't know nobody named Jesus. Total madness. And then when we wake up and understand these things, we say, well, hold up. I'm a stranger here. You dragged me here. And the Most High starts reviving us. They're like, okay, we have one who's the extremist. You a terrorist. Read on.
Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 52. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Most High Ahiah, that I will do judgment upon her graven
images.
He's
going to destroy all your images and your idols. And man, if you look at, if you even look at Washington, D.C., it's idol after idol. Monuments of idols. Obelisks, which is man's personal member. That's what an obelisk is. What's that, the Washington Monument? Idols every place. Five-pointed stars every place. But what if some did not believe? So what if you don't believe what we're teaching you? Paul asked, so what if some did not believe? Shall your unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You mean the Most High is going to stop his whole program because you don't believe them? No, you're dead. That's what you are. Okay, his program was before us. And it will be well after us. And that's for the people that's walking out there. Well, there's wars all the time. There have always been these situations. Every few years this happens. Nothing is going to change. That's a dead man.
Shabbat Shalom, Barakatham, Wathawada. Peaceful Sabbath. Bless you all. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Friday Night Sabbath. coming out of Babylon here for the Gathering of Christ Church, where we connect the dots of our reality and current events with the Word of God and Bible prophecy. I'm your host, brother and elder Ramar Karab. It is June 23rd, 2023, 7:20 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are live streaming from the belly of the beast, the heart of Babylon. And I pray you brothers and sisters out there are doing well in these very, very troubling and challenging times, very prophetic times, everything that's happening. I pray you're doing well. And, you know, it's always a blessing to make it week in and week out to see another Sabbath. So we got to, you know, start it off by giving all praise to the Most High God. His name in the Hebrew is Ahaya, his son, whom the world calls Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew is Yeshaya, and the Holy Spirit in the Hebrew is Ruach. All right, the Alahayim, the Elohim, the Godhead. I want to give all praises, honor, and glory for making it to see another day, another Sabbath day, as well as being here for another broadcast of Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon. And man, do we have a very eye-opening broadcast for you brothers and sisters this evening with the information that we're going to go into, a lot to go into. I know people are very probably excited just with the title and in itself. So let me go ahead and get the title real quick before we go into announcements for this evening. We have the title here, The Coming Fake UFO and Alien Invasion. The Coming Fake UFO and Alien Invasion. So there's a lot to unpack there just within the title itself, along with a lot of content we're going to go into tonight. So for those that, you know, the title is saying a lot and they're trying to figure out exactly what all it means, don't worry about that. We're going to go into it all tonight and hopefully give some good edification on this topic of discussion. It's been a long time coming for this particular broadcast. I think the time is now to go ahead and go into the information, right? But glad to see you brothers and sisters here this evening. Hope you're doing well. Your week's been blessed, and that the beginning of your Sabbath, or if your Sabbath has already started, that it is blessed also. All right. So before we go in, let's get some announcements real quick. Of course, we are streaming live here on evening, the GOCC Southwest on Twitch, twitch.tv/GOCC Southwest is the direct link to this platform. Make sure that you have that bookmarked, or if you have a Twitch account, you can always subscribe to this channel. Make sure that you're subscribed. All right. So we're streaming here, live streaming for visual experience. If you would like to call in the Blog Talk, we are multicasting through Blog Talk. You can call in through your phone. The guest call, the number is 515-605-9327, 515-605-9327. And you can press the number 1. That puts you in the guest call queue for to have your call taken. If you have a question, maybe some news, things happening in your neck of the woods, or you would like to comment on the discussion tonight, you can always call into Blog Talk, or you can just listen, whichever you would like. So those are the two ways that you can tune in for tonight's live stream. All right, make sure that you are subscribed to our main channel on YouTube, right? YouTube.com/GOCC Southwest. There you will actually know when we go live, whether it be on a Friday or any other day of the week, any type of updates, whatnot. Make sure that you're there, and you'll always be in the loop of things going on. It's more so of a hub of where, you know, all the things in regards to GOCC Southwest channel where you can find all the different things in regards to this ministry. You have all of our backup content, our Odyssey, link is there as well, where you can all of our archive content from past episodes that is banned on YouTube, right? Too hot for YouTube to handle. We have an Odyssey channel, GOCC Southwest. You can find all of those backup links there on our main YouTube channel. We also have the GOCC media channel on YouTube, right? youtube.com/TheGOCCMedia. And we also do some streaming there for our GOCC Fit, our fitness and nutrition series that we've been doing here in more recent time. And so we're also there on Friday nights as well. You also have other brothers and other Gathering of Christ Church content there on that platform. So make sure you subscribe to GOCC Media. Make sure you subscribe to the main YouTube channel for the church, A Gathering 144 on YouTube. Right now, I believe there is a strike on the main channel. So GOCC NYC is the backup channel. And so make sure you're subscribed to GOCC NYC also so that you don't miss should there be an issue with the main channel and like today's Patreon and tomorrow's Sabbath is going to be streamed there on GOCC NYC. All right. We have the Hebrew and Bible Academy starts Sunday, this Sunday. So if you're interested, you would like to know more, you would like to sign up for the next installment of the Hebrew and Bible Academy, historytimes.org, historytimes.org. All right. You can find everything you need to know about the Academy and all new information the elders are bringing out this time around, all new lessons. And you can find out more about all that on historytimes.org. All right. So make sure you get this information while you can, because we're in the times where you never know with things going on. You know, internet might not be working or might be down, or there could be some serious censorship where, hey, no longer can you be heard here on these platforms for having an opinion or having a belief. So get the information while you can get it. All right. We also have the church website, gatheringofchrist.org, gatheringofchrist.org, everything from the holy days to the Hebrew calendar to the GOCC network to the church resources when it comes to the biblical and historical texts that we go into, and much, much more there on gatheringofchrist.org, as well as the church main email address, gatheringasone@aol.com. gatheringasone@aol.com. So I believe those are all the announcements this evening. And just making sure everything is good here in the chat before we go in with the content for tonight. And boy, do we have some content, and I'm sure a very much anticipated discussion for a lot of people who have a lot of questions when it comes to this particular type of thing. So let's go ahead and get tonight's title one more time. Tonight's title is The Coming: Fake UFO and Alien Invasion. The Coming: Fake UFO and Alien Invasion. And when you look at the title, I would put a question mark behind the title. Will there be a fake UFO and alien invasion? I believe the content we're going to go into tonight will answer that question for you, but it's more of a question than a statement. And the next thing is, does the Bible speak about UFOs, aliens, does the Bible speak about a coming fake UFO and alien invasion? So we're gonna go into some scriptures this evening also to see what the Bible has to say about all of this. You know, we love to deal with the secular side of things, where you have those people who, whatever prominent figures or reporters or, you know, doctors, you know, journalists, whoever, scholars that like to, you know, chime in on the things that they've come across, researchers. And so we like to bring the Bible in, because through the Bible, we're able to filter through things that may be there for deceptive purposes. And so I want to start there in the scriptures. Speaking of deception, right? Let's go ahead and start in the Bible first before we go into any content for this evening. So when we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to pull it up here on my screen, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1, it reads, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord, and it says Jesus Christ. Now, of course, that is in the modern translation, but we know that that is actually not the proper name for Christ. His name is Yeshua in the Hebrew. There were no J's during the times of Christ. Matter of fact, the letter J is only around 400 years old. So we know Christ lived way before 400 years ago. So it's impossible for his name to have been Jesus, right? So his name is Yeshua. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Give me 1 second, family. Let me fix a setting on my computer here real quick. Don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to turn these. Should be good now. So let's start from the top. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1 reads, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Yeshua, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So the first thing that Paul told the believers, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So as we get closer to the day of Christ, okay, you're going to see things happening. You're going to hear things happening. We're going to do broadcasts like the one we're doing now, or past broadcasts that have been done by this church. All right. Regardless of all the stuff happening or the information that's being brought out, what did Paul warn the believers in Christ? The same thing Christ warned us: not to be troubled, not to be soon shaken in mind. Right? How can we bring this stuff out if everybody's going to be scared or be fearful? Okay, it's not going to be a very good scenario when you have a flock that's a hysterical stampede, where, you know, in a stampede you can trample everybody can be trampled to death, or a stampede where it caused you to go over a cliff. And I'm saying that going over a cliff symbolically as well as figuratively, literally as well as figuratively, right? So when we bring this information out, you cannot be troubled, cannot be shaken in mind, because this is the day of Christ, and these things were told they were going to happen. All right, so it's no time to be chickens with our heads cut off, running around like, you know, with no sense. We've lost our heads, right? But also, verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the next thing Paul warned, which was the same thing Christ warned in Matthew 24, let no man deceive you. Lots of deception out here right now. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Okay? There has to be a deception in the earth, because if not, what would be the purpose of Christ coming the first time? We know the second time he's coming to save us from the troublous times and for us to receive salvation. But, you know, he first had to come so that the lost sheep could be gathered. Okay, so there had to be a falling away. And primarily we're talking about the children of Israel, falling away into sin, falling away into deception, falling away into oblivion, not knowing who they are, not knowing who we are as a people, not knowing that the Bible is our heritage, that it's our book, understanding the knowledge and the wisdom of the scriptures and the prophecy to know what to do. So this stuff had to happen, and it's happened through deception, right? It's also happened through curses and things like that. Right, but these things have had to happen and are going to have to happen that haven't happened yet. It's no reason to be shaken in mind or be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Okay. And the interesting thing is I have my Strong Delusion T-shirt on this evening, proper fitting for the information we're going to talk about. And shout out to Judah Ware for the T-shirt. But yes, the strong delusion that comes with the deception, right? Believing one reality or believing one thing opposed to believing something else that's actually the real reality, all right? What some may call the matrix, right? You're believing the world is one way, which is the lie, the deception, when the world is actually something else. So I believe tonight what we're going to talk about, I believe, and I will let you brothers and sisters come to your own conclusion when we talk about the idea of a coming fake UFO and alien invasion. First of all, what are UFOs? What are aliens? We're going to go into that tonight, both biblically and through scholars and through researchers, journalists, all of those individuals. What are UFOs and aliens? Will there be an invasion? You know, we've heard so many things over the years, you know, UFOs, we've heard, you know, Roswell, Area 51, you know, all these different things, UFOs being shot down. Will there be an invasion of UFOs and aliens? And with all that now being said, will that event be fake? Will that be a fake event? Talk about it. Let us talk about it. Where are we going to start? Let me get my material ready here this evening. So let us pull up our first bit of information tonight. And we've talked about this. This was at the beginning of the year. It's how the year started out. This is on Natural News. It says, U.S. fighter jet takes down third high-altitude airborne object in Canada. Now, this is back in February of this year, February 14th. Remember this? Remember the Chinese spy balloons? It says here, just one day after the United States, whoops, I was going to do that. I'm trying to make it bigger for you all so y'all can see it. Just one day after the U.S. shot down a cylindrical, silverish gray, unidentified flying object in the northeast Arctic region of Alaska, NORAD reportedly shot down a third UFO in Canada over the Yukon. Remember, this is what we were being told was happening at the beginning of the year. Right? F-22 fighter jets scrambled, took down a high altitude object that violated Canadian airspace, NORAD, which means North American Aerospace Defense Command. Okay, they use a missile to shoot down this, what they called a Chinese spy balloon. All right. Was used to take down this latest UFO. Now, they were also calling it a UFO because they didn't know it was unidentified. It was flying, and it was an object. So they were allegedly stating on one hand that it was a Chinese spy balloon, but on the other hand, they were telling us that it was also could possibly be some type of UFO, something of alien or foreign to this world's reality. Let's see if there's any more here. It says, in the comments, one person wrote that he suspects these spy balloons have been entering North American airspace for years, but that we are only just now hearing about it because the Biden regime has decided that the optics of it are bad and they had better do something about it. This feels a lot more like a sudden change in policy than a sudden change in the number of balloons, the same commenter said. Another wondered if perhaps we are witnessing the early stages of Project Bluebeam unveiled to the masses. Will the powers that be stage a fake alien invasion as their next false flag operation? All right, so these are some of the comments that people were discussing towards this particular instance, this event, or these events. So we're gonna talk more about these things tonight. What is Project Bluebeam? For those who are unaware, some of you probably have heard of that. And someone in the comments talking about a fake alien invasion. They had a question too. Is this their next false flag operation? Interesting food for thought, right? Let's go to our next article here. At the same time, you had America's UFO enthusiasts have questions about the Chinese spy balloon. This is February 22nd, so this is a week later. Now you have those people who are UFO enthusiasts, religious zealots on the UFO side, right, who are asking, are fighter pilots blasting extraterrestrial craft out of the sky? So you have all type of questions being asked here where it's a mystery. People trying to figure out what's going on here. Is what we're being told really what's happening? It says here, in the past 2 weeks, the U.S. military has opened fire on multiple flying objects that have crossed into North America. The most recent intruder was taken out over Lake Huron on Super Bowl Sunday. The government says at least one of the four objects was sent to spy on the U.S. by China. China officially disagrees, calling the first object a wayward weather balloon. right? The most recent administration spin is that the three most recently shot down UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena, could be benign. But as with so many UAP sightings, and especially given the government's aggressive response, speculation about alien activity ran rampant anyway. Are fighter pilots blasting extraterrestrial craft out of the sky? Ever since the 1940s, aliens have been the go-to explanation when it comes to understanding mysterious objects in our atmosphere. Beautiful hypothesis, but one that enjoys widespread popularity. Half of the respondents in a 2021 Pew Research survey endorsed the idea that UFOs reported by the military are actually craft sent here from light years away. Now, you know me, family. I'm a critical thinker. I'm a thinker outside of the box, and I like to ask questions, okay? So you mean to tell me that these advanced craft that have traveled light years away, which this world doesn't have that technology, or at least we haven't seen any type of, you know, Elon Musk is steady shooting spacecraft up in the sky that explode as soon as they reach, you know, a certain point in the earth, in the atmosphere, certain altitude, they explode, right? We've allegedly sent a person to the moon, you know, once or twice. That was in the 60s. Haven't been back to the moon since, right? You mean to tell me that with that technology that's been shown that the world possesses, that these advanced craft, right, advanced technology traveled light years away only to be shot down out the sky by this world's primitive weapons? That's what they would like to believe is happening here, right? And they come and go, right? You hear about it, and then you won't hear about it for some time. And then they'll pop up, and you'll hear more about it, and then you won't hear about it. It's not like something is happening every day to where, okay, something's happening here, right? It's stuff that pops up every blue moon. Almost kind of sounds like a card that's being played, you know, kind of like the COVID card that popped up, you know, COVID popped up and disappeared. You had the ISIS card, it pops up, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they popped up and they disappeared. You don't hear anything about them anymore. Kind of like the Santa Claus card where Santa Claus pops up once a year to slide down chimneys and, you know, flying reindeer. Is that a UFO? I don't know. Flying reindeer, and delivers presents under a Christmas tree and puts things in your stocking. You know, these cards where these characters just pop up and disappear, and nobody really has any, you know, like credible proof that these things actually exist. But yet we're told this and these stories. And to me, it's simple-minded to think that these craft were able to travel light years away from who, you know, they haven't still told us from where, but they travel light years away from someplace out there, only to be shot down with this world's Earth's primitive weaponry, right? And they're just floating around the atmosphere, just waiting to be shot down. So it's really silly if you ask me, but that's my opinion. Don't let me discourage anyone else out there who's listening who actually believes that somehow we have this technology that's able to be capable of doing that, right? We'll get to that later. But even in this article, it says, however, it needs to be said again that blaming the aliens doesn't pass the smell test in this case. Whatever China was doing with this giant balloon, the object's highly limited maneuverability, a common shortcoming of inflatables, hardly sounds like what extraterrestrials would send our way. Right? Doesn't sound, I mean, and I didn't even read this part, so I'm saying this before even getting to this part where this author is saying the same thing. Doesn't sound like an advanced race would do. After all, if they can bridge the tens of trillions of miles between their planet and ours, they would surely deploy sophisticated steering technology once their probe reached our planet. Exact same thing I just said And again, I didn't read this part of this article. All right. I seen the headline. I thought it would go well with the broadcast. So I said, we'll go into this just as a part of the discussion. But here it is, almost verbatim, the same critical thinking point that I have made, right? Doesn't take a rocket scientist, right? No pun intended. It says here, we don't send rovers to Mars that roll around with the wind. Aliens would want to direct their hardware to the most promising vantage sites. Okay? So this is just some common sense almost thinking here. But nonetheless, the main part of all of this, before we get to start, you know, dissecting what we're being sold here, is that you have UFO enthusiasts, those staunch proponents that UFOs and alien life form exist. Little green men, little gray men, maybe big green or gray men. But nonetheless, a foreign creature or entity from another planet, moon, galaxy, universe. Speaking of big men, because typically when we hear UFOs, there are always these little green men or little gray, you know, the greens and the grays, right? Well, here recently, you had here, I'm going to play this here off of Instagram. It says Las Vegas police body cam footage captures object falling out of the sky. And 911 call from family reporting creatures in their backyard. What do you think? This was 2 weeks ago. I wanted to deal with this because this is something that just happened. So I said, okay, I think now is the time to have this UFO alien discussion and go into some, you know, government documents, ex-government officials, people who are on the inside to what's really going on. But nonetheless, we have the letter 8, the infinity sign with the all-seeing eye news bringing us this report. So let's go ahead and check this out here. People said something crashed in their yard and they called 911 to talk about it. So that's what we're going to hear, the 911 call now. So now, the same night in the same area, you have officers out. Okay. And here is their supposed body cam footage. Now, this is interesting because I don't know the dates. This was June 8th when this was uploaded. I don't know the date of this particular call, but I noticed May 1st here. So this is a long way out if they're reporting this in June that this happened. You would think this would be like reported that day or the next at the latest. So that's the first thing that I'm looking at in this is the date seems, they didn't give us the date for the 911 call, but the date is already looking kind of suspect, right? But let's keep going here. Sorry about that. The arrow on Instagram is blocking, but so they caught a ball in the sky like it was falling to the ground, right? A big blue ball. Let's hear what's being said here. So then within minutes, they get a 911 call. This is what we're being told of an 8-foot person in this, and there's another, is two of them in this person's backyard. And I'm going to get to some of your comments. I see some comments coming in, some of the same thoughts I had about all of this, but let's keep going here. Now here, the officers have showed up. And these are the people that are saying that they saw the creatures. But the creatures are gone now. They're not there, right? They're gone. But they're giving their account of what they saw. Let's hear them out here. So he first said 8 feet tall. Now he's saying 10 feet tall. I mean, I can understand, you know, 8 and 10 feet, you're probably thinking it's big, it's tall. So not much difference probably at that point when you're talking about 8 and 10 feet. But stories changed a little bit. Officer now is going to talk about what he saw. So here's a story we're being told. They're now walking to the backyard to get a view of possibly like this craft crashing, you know, some type of evidence, maybe big footprints in the ground, right? But they blacked it out because they said it's private property. Now, how many brothers and sisters, I know a lot of you all have watched Cops and different, you know, TV shows where police are investigating. When have you ever seen them go into a backyard and black it out and say, well, it's private property, so we have to black it out? But that's what we're being told. So I'm gonna get to a summary here as soon as this ends, and some of the comments that people are making in the comment box there. He said they seem quite scared on the call. We're gonna talk about that in a moment. Did they sound quite scared on the call? Or are we being sold something here with sorcery? And it's always sources, our sources, right? These sources don't have names. It's just sources. Our sources tell us. So now let's deal with analysis here on this particular video, what we just saw or heard, because we really didn't see much of anything. Only thing we really saw was a blue ball in the sky, and that was it. So some of the things that I, again, being a critical thinker and asking the questions I ask, I seen the chat. Some of you all were saying the same thing. One of the things that I'm first noticing is that these people on the phone did not sound scared. You mean to tell me if you saw an 8 foot or a 10 foot giant, two of them in your backyard, that you're going to be talking on 911 and say they're looking at me right now with a calm voice? Yeah, they're looking at me right now. They're 8 feet tall with big eyes, and they're looking at me right now. And he said it with a straight, calm voice. Like he sees this every day, nothing to see here. It's perfectly normal. Okay? That was the first thing. Second thing, which I saw someone, a lot of you probably mentioned this. I've seen several people mention these things. The next point is we live in a time of great technology, primarily speaking of this right here. Okay, everybody and their mama has one of these. Who doesn't have one of these? And you mean to tell me in the age of smartphone with cameras on them, everybody has a camera in their hand at all times. You mean to tell me we got no footage from no one's camera? There was, I think, what, four at minimum, maybe more standing in the yard when the police showed up that were talking about this. You mean to tell me none of them got any footage of these creatures? None? That's the second thing. The next thing was, and some of you said it here in the chat, I'm just trying to recall all the points because there were just some things that were just not really sounding legit here to me when it comes to this particular instance. Okay, I'm scrolling through the chat here. Some people said fallen angels. They think that these are falling angels. Of course, when the police arrive, they're gone. Within minutes, they're gone. Okay. But again, once again, we see these extraterrestrial high advanced craft, in one case being blown out the sky, all right, traveling light years away to be blown up out the sky by this world's primitive weapons. We also see them, they either can't drive or their vehicles, once they get here, don't work right because they're crashing in people's backyards. Okay, so these are some of the questions that, you know, come to my mind when I am dealing with a story like this. But nonetheless, let's take it as if it's being reported, so it's true. What we're hearing here is true. But keep in mind this story, because we're going to come back to it at the end of this broadcast. We're gonna deal with this topic, but we're also going to come back to this particular story at the end of this broadcast. But what I want to do now is I want to deal with history. I want to deal with some history now, because they said that since the 1940s, there has been this thing of aliens and UFOs kind of jump started in the 40s. So I want to go to the 40s. And I just want to go through some history here. So I have a document here. And this document is titled Space Superiority: Wernher von Braun's Campaign for a Nuclear-Armed Space Station. This is 1946 to 1956. Now, some of you may have heard of Wernher von Braun. All right, we're going to get more information on him in a second. But why would he feel the need to build a nuclear-armed space station and have space superiority in the 40s? This is what was being discussed. Okay. It says here, between 1952 and 1954, Wernher von Braun, let me blow this up for you all, the German-American rocket engineer. So, for those of you who are familiar with Operation Paperclip, we have done many broadcasts on Operation or Project Paperclip. Wernher von Braun was a German or a Nazi scientist that was brought to America, and he is supposed to be the father of the rocket engine and the rocket ship that propelled the rockets that would soon be what would propel NASA and America's space program into space. This is who Wernher von Braun was. He was the key participant in one of the most influential campaigns to sell spaceflight ever attempted, a series of articles in Collier's Magazine. The subsequent literature on the history of spaceflight, much of it written by von Braun enthusiasts or influenced by their accounts, has depicted this campaign mostly as a forerunner to later programs for the peaceful and scientific exploration of space. Yet the centerpiece of von Braun's plan for space travel, which he has been developing since at least 1946, was a manned space station which would not only serve as a base for further exploration, but also as an orbiting reconnaissance platform and battle station for achieving space superiority over the USSR. So who is the USSR? This is the United Soviet States of Russia. That's what the USSR was. Now it's just Russia. But back before, I believe, the Berlin Wall came down, it was known as the USSR, the Soviet Union. The Soviets, right? So we were told that this space superiority was needed to be created in space to fight Russia. Here, see, so this Russia thing, you know, for people to understand, it goes back a very, very long time. This isn't something new. We have now Russia, Ukraine, right? Other things that happened before that with Russia. Where it's a surprise that the spy balloon wasn't said to be a Russian spy balloon. It's said to be a Chinese spy balloon. But nonetheless, 1946 was the year after the World War II had ended. World War II ended in 1945. So let's check this out for a second. America in World War II was enemies with Germany, the Nazis. America was allies with Russia. So no sooner than World War II ends, America goes and grabs Germans, Nazi scientists, brings them back to America, and NASA and all other types of government, government agencies and programs. And now America becomes allies with Germany and now enemies with once ally Russia, and is now looking to achieve space superiority over Russia with this orbiting reconnaissance platform. We're going to talk more about this platform here in a moment, too. I just want y'all to see the narrative that's being woven and served here and how things have, you know, changed, you know, 360 between America's relationship with Russia and America's relationship with Germany under the guise of space superiority over Russia, right? It says, one, its roles could be the launching of nuclear missiles. When challenged as to the station's defensibility, von Braun even posited preemptive atomic strikes from space as a response to the development of hostile anti-satellite capability. So, for instance, America would have the ability from space to launch atom bombs on Russia from space. That's what they're telling us this is for. For von Braun, the space station was the ultimate weapon which could impose a Pax Americana on the USSR. How quickly did the relationship with America and Russia turn sour, or the Soviet Union at the time, turn sour so quickly? And how quickly did America's, you know, enmity with Germany turn for the better? Von Braun may in fact have been the first person to use the term space superiority in print. So there's more here in this particular white paper, but I'm not going to go into, I'm just getting the pieces here that I need that we can go into so we can, you know, build a understanding of history, how America and Russia go back to right after World War II becoming enemies. And then this started what you would call the Cold War between America and Russia. They were at a Cold War, proxy war, basically, but a Cold War. Basically, it's an arms race where this gives you now the excuse to now build up military arms, weapons, munitions, vehicles, and now space stations. So now when you're building these military apparatuses and stockpiling artillery, you have the actual excuse or the reason behind why you're doing it. And no one can say, why is America stockpiling all this military weaponry? Why is Soviet Union stockpiling all this military weaponry? Well, we're in a Cold War with Russia. So you see how right after World War II, they went into the next phase of war. Like, the war never ended. This went into what you would call a Cold War, right? And when you go and look into history, I think there's a chart out there, a timeline out there that shows that I think, like, only out of America's inception, I think, like, what is it, like, only 8 years in the 200, almost 300 years America has been a nation, only like 8 years has America not been at war. All the other years, America's been at war. Even up to this day, you still have the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, right? the war in Ukraine, which now America is sending billions of dollars to Ukraine to fight against Russia. But there's more. We're going to get to it. Let us keep going here. We're just going through the history of dealing with space. And so they want to weaponize space. And the reason, and the boogeyman is Russia. That's the reason why. Now, let's keep going here. As we fast forward through the 40s, around the same time, in the 50s, we have a Washington Post article here. Washington Post, 2004 article. 50 years ago tomorrow, on February 20th, 1954, President Dwight Eisenhower interrupted his vacation in Palm Springs to make a secret nocturnal trip to a nearby Air Force base to meet two extraterrestrial aliens. Right? This is the story that was told during this time. Or maybe not. Maybe Ike just went to the dentist. There's some dispute about this. The Ike met with ET's theory is advanced by Michael Sala, a former American University professor who now runs the Peace Ambassador Program at AU Center for Global Peace. The Ike went to the dentist theory is advanced by the folks at the Dwight D. Eisenhower Library in Abilene, Kansas, and by James M. Mixon, a dentist, professor of dentistry, and historian of presidential dental work. Just to make things more intriguing, on that night in question, the Associated Press reported this. President Eisenhower died tonight of a heart attack in Palm Springs. So at the same time, you have three stories running. You have a story of him going to the dentist in the middle of the night. You have a story of him meeting with two extraterrestrial aliens. And you also have the story that he died of a heart attack that night. 2 minutes later, the AP retracted that bulletin and reported that Ike was still alive. Indeed, Ike was alive, and he continued living until 1969. But in the decades since his death, his activities on the night of February 20th, 1954 have become fodder for strange theories about alien beings. Okay, it says here, some facts are beyond dispute. So he was on a vacation. They said a golf vacation. He chipped his tooth. They said he supposedly either went to the dentist or they believe that the dentist trip is a cover story. You have Sala, who was PhD in government from the University of Queensland in his native Australia, says that he believes Ike went to Edwards Air Force Base, where he met with two ETs with white hair, pale blue eyes, and colorless lips. These aliens, nicknamed Nordics in UFO circles because they resemble Scandinavian humans, traveled to Edwards from another solar system in a flying saucer. Sala says they spoke to Eisenhower. Check this out. There was telepathic communication. So they spoke in telepathy, telekinesis. It's as though you're hearing a person, but they're not speaking. All right. Interesting how this is being described, because this is going to fit perfectly in what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay. The Nordics offered to share their superior technology and their spiritual wisdom with Ike if he would agree to eliminate America's nuclear weapons. Okay, so they came to have America get rid of nukes, nuclear weapons. When we just read Wernher von Braun, he wanted superior space superiority with a nuclear armed space station in space in the 40s, right after World War II. And so now Ike or President Eisenhower is being, he's actually being looked to be negotiating with aliens to get rid of America's nuclear weapons. They were afraid we might blow up some of our nuclear technology. And apparently that does something to time and space, and it impacts on an extraterrestrial races on other planets. And they said that Ike, or this person said that Ike did not accept the offer. He declined the ET's offer. But it says sometime later in 1954, Ike reached a deal with another race of extraterrestrial known as the Greys, allowing them to capture Earthling cattle and humans for medical experiments, provided that they return the humans safely home. Since then, Salas says the Greys have kidnapped millions of humans. Okay, so basically, this agreement would later come to be known as the Treaty of Granada. Okay, the Treaty of Granada. And when you look up the Treaty of Granada, it actually reads in a way where you wouldn't think it has anything to do with aliens, but we're going to deal with that later and explain that also. So, again, this is a report. I'm just giving you some history here, and we're going to see President Eisenhower later talking in some of the videos we're going to show. So that's the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because he's actually going to be talking about things that's going to draw to bring us back here to this report, as well as this Treaty of Granada that he signed during that time. So what's going on here? Deals being made with aliens, superiority in space being created, right? This is kind of what the world and the American people, you know, catching wind to. This is, you know, possibly what's going on here. But is this what's really happening? Right? Is this what's really happening? So let's keep going here. And so the next thing in history, because remember, Wernher von Braun, he wanted to create space superiority in the U.S., a German Nazi scientist, under Project Paperclip, Operation Paperclip, and create a nuclear-armed space station in the 40s. Well, you fast forward to the 80s, and I don't know how many of you all are familiar with the SDI, which is the Strategic Defense Initiative, right? Let's read about it. For those that don't know or are familiar with this, the Strategic Defense Initiative, derisively nicknamed the Star Wars program, was a proposed missile defense system intended to protect the United States from attack by ballistic strategic nuclear weapons, intercontinental ballistic missiles, and submarine-launched ballistic missiles. The concept was announced on March 23, 1983 by President Ronald Reagan. So now when we fast forward from the 1940s and 50s about this space superiority by Wernher von Braun, we now have the next president after Eisenhower supposedly making these agreements under these treaties that were masked as something else, but they were really in regards to UFOs and aliens, as we are kind of, you know, being told. This happened in 1983 by Ronald Reagan, then president. A vocal critic of the doctrine of mutually assured destruction, which he described as a suicide pact, Reagan called upon American scientists and engineers to develop a system that would render nuclear weapons obsolete. Elements of the program reemerged in 2019 with the Space Development Agency. So now, you know, y'all stick with me here because I have to bring this history out because this is going to now lead us up to where we're about to go into. Okay, we have to know what's been happening all these years because the things that have been happening all these years is going to allow us to understand what's happening now. They plan these things out way far in advance. Okay, so we have to go back to when this, you know, initially was, you know, getting started to understand what's happening now. Okay, we can't just go into it right now and fully understand it without the history. But notice how this is all continuing to deal with this nuclear weapons issue. Right? But what we see here are being told here that this is dealing with nuclear weapons, but it's also being called a Star Wars program, nicknamed. So that doesn't sound like just dealing with nuclear weapons. That sounds like something happening in the stars. And you're talking about wars happening in the stars or in the heavens. But we're being, you know, led to believe that this is just dealing with, you know, dealing with nuclear weapons here on Earth, rendering them obsolete. Now, this was 1983, but when you fast forward to 2019, which was just 4 years ago, elements of this Strategic Defense Initiative Star Wars program, elements of this program, reemerged in 2019 with the Space Development Agency. Well, what's the Space Development Agency, you might ask? Let's go over here. It says here, the Space Development Agency is a United States Space Force direct reporting unit tasked with deploying disruptive space technology. Huh. So now we're kind of getting somewhere and moving away from what we are being told in the 40s and 50s and even in 1983 that this was all about nuclear weapons and fighting Russia. But now fast forward to 2019 and this Space Development Agency, which is now taking elements of the SDI, is for tasks with deploying disruptive space technology. So this now is we're going out into space and disrupting things that are out in space. It says here, a primary focus is space-based missile defense using large global satellite constellations made up of industry-procured low-cost satellites. The SDA has been managed by the United States Space Force, there it is, since October 2022. So this was started in 2019 under Trump, and then in 2022 under Biden, has now been managed under the U.S. Space Force. Now, some may ask, what is the U.S. Space Force? Well, we're going to get into that in a moment, but I'm just, again, we're going through the history, so I want to go back to the 80s with Reagan, because there's something now we need to deal with Ronald Reagan on with this. We jumped a little bit ahead in the future to kind of see, okay, this is going someplace different than what we're being told it was in the 40s and in the 80s. It says here, the Strategic Defense Initiative Organization was set up in 1984 within the U.S. Department of Defense to oversee development. A wide array of advanced weapon concepts, including lasers, particle beam weapons, and ground and space-based missile systems were studied along with various sensor, command and control, and high-performance computer systems that would be needed to control a system consisting of hundreds of combat centers and satellites spanning the entire globe and involved in a very short battle. All right. So that sounds pretty advanced, wouldn't you say? Lasers, advanced weapon concepts like lasers, particle beam weapons, sounds space-aged, right? It sounds like, okay, a whole different level of warfare just to get rid of some nuclear weapons, right? This is all to render nuclear weapons obsolete, right? Now check this out. It says SDI was controversial in some sectors and was criticized for threatening to destabilize the MAD approach. MAD just basically means if nuclear weapons get deployed by one country, all countries are going to use them and the whole world is going to get destroyed. Right? So, and that's the reason why it's called MAD. Okay? So, when we talk about MAD, it is mutually assured destruction. All right? If you launch one nuclear missile from one country, you can assure yourself mutually all of the countries are going to launch and nuclear missiles and everybody's going to die. It's MAD, right? You know, rightly coined there for that concept. But there, you know, there's controversy behind the SDI that this, it says, was criticized for threatening to destabilize the MAD approach, potentially rendering the Soviet nuclear arsenal useless and to possibly reignite an offensive arms race. So here again, go those Soviets. So what we're seeing here is a baton being handed off from Wernher von Braun, the Nazi scientist, Operation Paperclip for space superiority, nuclear armed space station against those bad boogeyman Soviets, to now being handed off to Reagan to do the same thing against these Soviets. Because now this could ignite an offensive arms race. It says here, it even talks about the Cold War coming to an end in the 90s, right? Because they're saying, oh, nuclear arsenals are being reduced. This is what they're telling us is happening. Then they go into to Clinton and all of that. Now, check this out. In 2019, space-based interceptor development resumed for the first time in 25 years with President Trump's signing of the National Defense Authorization Act. So 1 year before the lockdown, Trump reignites this program that had been dormant for 25 years. This space-based interceptor development is now reignited 1 year before the lockdown under the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, right? Signed, started with Obama, the NDAA. So now we're seeing the NDAA coming to way far more than what we even knew was evil with the NDAA, being used for other purposes. That's what I was saying. When they sign these acts and these programs, they're for way far more things than what we know them to be for and can be used for. Who would have thought that a space-based program would be initiated under the NDAA? CIA Director Mike Pompeo called for additional funding to achieve a full-fledged strategic defense initiative for our time, meaning we need to ramp up all funding for this space superiority under the guise of fighting nuclear weapons against Russia. So now, speaking of Ronald Reagan, I want to go to, at the same time this was happening, Ronald Reagan was making some very interesting statements at some of his speeches. Check this out. Now it's about to come into full circle what this is really all about. The beginning of understanding what this is really all about. It says, President Reagan, three famous alien threat speeches. Let's check out these alien threat speeches that Ronald Reagan gave. Three separate instances. So let's break down what Ronald Reagan is saying here. Now, this was in the, it actually has the quote here. His first speech was in 1985. Remember, he signed this SDI, or began this program, this Star Wars program. He began it in 1983. So then in 1985, this was at a high school in Maryland, and he was speaking about him and General Gorbachev. General Gorbachev was the leader, you know, president, you may say, of Russia at the time, Soviet Union at the time. And he's talking about, well, I know there's a lot of talk about the nuclear tensions between America and Russia. Well, how about if an alien race, let's see what he says here. He said, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we are all human beings here on this earth together. What's happening here? What seeds are being sown here? See, we're being told that this space station is to battle Russia, and we need to get rid of nuclear. This is to get rid of nuclear weapons and to fight against Russia in space. But then we're now being told, well, what if there was an alien threat? Then we would all not be enemies anymore, and we would join together to fight against the aliens. Russia and America would no longer be enemies. And these little petty differences we have that are supposedly having us be at war with one another would come to an end. But this wasn't the only time Reagan made this speech. He said this particular, these particular statements. There was a second time. Let's hear him, the second time he made this similar statement and speech. So now let's break down this second speech he gave, which was at the 42nd session of the UN. You know, talked a lot about the UN lately. We're going to talk about them more tonight. In 1987 in New York, the 42nd session of the UN General Assembly. And he talks about the world in peril and the countries of the world fighting against one another, and goes into a spiel of perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. There was another time he made similar statements in a speech. Let's get the last and third time that we have here of him talking about this alien threat that would unite us all together and stop fighting country to country and fight against this alien threat coming to the earth. Let's get it. All right. So let's get the last instance of him speaking on this alien threat. This was 1988. Question and answer session with members of the National Strategy Forum in Chicago, Illinois. And it was pretty much the same thing. What if all of us in the world discovered that we were threatened by a power from outer space from another planet? Wouldn't we all of a sudden find that we didn't have any differences between us all? We were all human beings, citizens of the world, and wouldn't we come together to fight that particular threat? All right. So there are some seeds being sown here, but it's being now, it's now shifting from space superiority to fight against Russia, right, and nuclear weapons. So at the same time that this is being created, this Star Wars program, which now in 2019 has been picked up and continued through the Space Development Agency, which is now being ran by the U.S. Space Force. Okay, do we see the baton and the what's happening here is we were told one thing in the beginning and actually now we're going down a path to something different. When has that ever happened before in this world to where our leaders, so-called, tell us one thing and then lead us to a different end game or take us down a path and tell us, yeah, if we go down this path, this is what is at the end of this path, and only to come to find out is something totally different happening at the end of that path, right? This was designed for fighting Russia, getting rid of nuclear weapons, but at the same time, Ronald Reagan is sowing seeds about an outside alien threat. Maybe we would come together and join together, and we wouldn't be fighting amongst each other in all these wars we're having, right? We're going to go all the way in on this evening, okay? So now, remember, Wernher von Braun talked about this space station. And even when you go into this particular Wikipedia link here, right, and you type space in here, all you find throughout this whole thing is about space. Really nothing about necessarily nuclear weapons or fighting, you know, to get rid of nuclear weapons. You see space everywhere within this Wikipedia. So check this out. You also have here the creation of what you would call International Space Station. Within this SDI program, they were looking to create an international space station. Now, international means, you know, multiple countries. But I thought we were at war with multiple countries. Why would we then create an international space station that can be shared amongst countries if we're all at war with each other? Right. So this is now where things start to really get dicey and suspect. Okay, so now let's talk about this International Space Station. The ISS is the largest modular space station in low Earth orbit. Okay, and you're not going to believe who all is part of this space station. It says the project involves five space agencies: the United States NASA, Russia's Roscosmos, Japan's JAXA, Europe's ESA, and Canada's CSA. Wait a minute. I thought America was at war with Russia. I thought Russia was the big bad boogeyman. But yet America is sharing an international space station with Russia, the same Russia, Soviet Union, that Wernher von Braun said we need to create a space superiority against so that we can shoot nuclear missiles from space at Russia. But yet there's an international space station agreement with America and Russia. Does that sound like war between America and Russia? Does that sound like enemies sharing this station up in space? So when you add this on top of what Ronald Reagan was talking about, that perhaps some outside alien threat were to come against us, we could all join in together to fight against that threat. See, in the 80s, of course, it may not have made sense to a lot of people when they heard that. It's very easy to get caught up in the fear and the hysteria and the idea of what we've been told aliens are and believe in that. But now when you fast forward to where we are now with all of this, it's starting to make sense what's really going on here. All right? And if it isn't making sense to you, brothers and sisters, don't worry. We're going to go into it. And we're going to go into the Bible on it as well. All right. So here we have the United States Space Force, which was really under Donald Trump in 2019, right before the lockdown, initiated a program that would then be picked up by the Space Force. This is almost 30 years after it had been started by Ronald Reagan. Before that, 30 years before that, Wernher von Braun had started a Operation Paperclip Nazi scientist. And so from the 40s, 50s, 80s to now, here we are. It started then, but it's led to this point where here we are now. Let's get some information about this Space Force mission. The U.S. Space Force is responsible for organizing, training, and equipping guardians to conduct global space operations that enhance the way our joint and coalition forces fight, while also offering decision makers military options to achieve national objectives. What's going on here? What's going on out here in space now? Check this out. The U.S. Space Force's lines of effort enable the service to provide the forces personnel and partnerships required to preserve U.S. space superiority. So from Wernher von Braun, 1946 to 1956, space superiority under the guise of fighting the Soviets, up to 2022 under Joe Biden, the United States Space Force is continuing the mission to preserve U.S. space superiority. And then it goes into how this was established. Under Trump, 2019, NDAA, creating the first new branch of the armed services since 1947. This is military. This is the first branch of military being formed since 1947. This happens to be 1 year after this Wernher von Braun space policy. America now has a new branch of military. So this is what, 70 years later? Establishment of the USSF resulted from widespread recognition that space is a national security imperative. They must secure space. It's imperative for national security. When combined with the growing threat posed by strategic competitors in space, it became clear that there was a need for a military service focused solely on pursuing superiority in the space domain. Who are the competitors in space? He doesn't tell you that. Remember, at one point it was Russia, but I think they can't use that anymore because we could just point back to the ISSS that America has a space station that they're sharing with Russia right now. Who are these competitors in space? I think we're going to find that out tonight. Space Force is the newest service. The Department of Defense has been working in the space domain since the beginning of space exploration. The U.S. military is faster, better connected, more informed, more precise, and more lethal because of its ability to harness space effectively. Check this out. The same premise that space is critical holds true for the average American. Space capabilities are woven into the fabric of daily life. Satellites connect people in every corner of the globe, from monitoring weather patterns to carrying television broadcasts. Oh, yeah. Got to protect those satellites, right, that feed us our television broadcast with you know, everything from monitoring weather patterns, right? Synchronizing cell phone networks, our global financial networks, right? All these things is what's being told they must have in space and protected with this, what the Space Force helps to protect these things. Access to and freedom to operate in space underpins our national security and economic prosperity. Yet potential adversaries are seeking ways to deny the U.S. access to the space capabilities that are fundamental to both war fighting and our modern way of life. Who are these adversaries that are looking to deny the U.S. access to space capabilities? One could ask. These adversaries have developed an array of threats. See, Russia has disappeared now, right? It used to be a specific country or people, but now it's become vague, ambiguous. Adversaries. They've developed an array of threats both on Earth and in orbit. They continue to grow in scope, scale, and complexity. I would love to know who these adversaries are. Could you be more specific to tell me? You think they'll tell us specifically who these adversaries are without maybe subliminally telling us? Right, and there's more here, but that's kind of a good portion of it. Now here is the U.S. Space Force on Wikipedia. It's a branch of the U.S. Armed Force and the world's only dedicated independent space force. They work with the U.S. Air Force. So it's the Department of the Air Force led by the Secretary of the Air Force. And we know who the Prince of the Power of the Air is. The Space Force is the smallest U.S. armed service, consisting of 8,600 military personnel, operating 77 spacecraft in total. All right, just getting some different things here. Check this out. The U.S. Space Force traces its roots to the beginning of the Cold War, all what we just talked about, with the first military space program starting in 1945. See how it's important to understand this history so we can go back and see. Yeah, we've talked about the roots of all this. Then you go up to 1954. This is during the time of Dwight D. Eisenhower. The Air Force established the Western Development Division. the world's first dedicated space organization, and then unified its space forces under the Air Force Space Command in 1982. U.S. Space Forces have participated in every U.S. conflict since the Vietnam War, most notably in the Persian Gulf War, often referred to as the Persian Gulf War, often referred to as the first space war. Check this out. The first discussion of a U.S. Space Force occurred under President Dwight Eisenhower's administration in 1958. Talked about Ike and the alien ambassadors, remember? He went to the dentist, or he went to meet two extraterrestrial aliens, but this was started under his administration, and it was nearly established in 1982 by President Ronald Reagan. There he goes, right? There they go, handing the baton off from one to the next. As part of the Strategic Defense Initiative, there's more here, but I think we're laying a really good framework down for what we're about to go in now. Because now we're going to have some, you know, we're about to go into it now. Okay, now that we've laid this history out, another thing we're going to be dealing with tonight is a man by the name of Serge Monest. Now check it out. He was born in 1945, so he was born the same year a lot of this stuff was starting. So he grew up during this time. He was a Canadian investigative journalist, poet, essayist, and conspiracy theorist. So you know when you see that word, you already know what time it is, right? He is known to English-speaking readers mainly for the conspiracy theory Project Bluebeam. So we're going to talk about Project Bluebeam tonight. What is Project Bluebeam? Well, it says here, which concerns an alleged plot to facilitate a totalitarian world government by destroying traditional religions and replacing them with a new age belief system using NASA technology. So is this all starting to come together now? If you think about it, all the things we've been talking about in recent broadcasts, weeks, past month, months, past year, going all the way back to the beginning of this ministry, is all of this now possibly connected with all the things we've been speaking about? Is this whole thing, we talk about aliens and UFOs, does this fit into everything we've been talking about? I think we'll see tonight if that is the case, right? Also, Hollywood. What does Hollywood have to say about UFOs and aliens? Do they have anything to say about showing us this alien and UFO invasion, right? So on and on and on and on with this. So let us now go to, we're going to now deal with, I believe, one of the greats in this. We talk about talking aliens and UFOs. And of course, with everybody that we, you know, bring up, we may not necessarily agree with everything a person may have to say, but there probably is a lot of things we can agree on. And so we have to be able to pick out the bones. Well, you have John D'Souza here, ex-FBI specialist who deals primarily things in relation to UFOs and aliens. He was in the FBI, okay, and now is out of the FBI, and he's written books on this, and he does a lot of lectures on this, dealing with the, I would say, more accurate standing behind what are UFOs and aliens versus kind of what we have been sold and told these UFOs and aliens are. So here we have a video, True Tales and Concepts of Alien Visitors. So let's see what he has to say about this topic. Let's go back a little bit. Just want to pick up where he first gets started here. Let's hear that again. Again, these are his words, but listen to what he's saying about UFOs and aliens. UFOs and aliens are real, but they are not physical. What does he mean by that? Let's just hear what he has to say about it. They are not coming from outer space at all. They are coming from other dimensions. We're about to go into some scriptures on this here in a moment, too. All right. Because there's some very, very key things of what he's describing here when talking about aliens and UFOs. Because we've been told that there's green men, gray men, they ride around in spaceships, coming from other planets, galaxies, but he's saying in the FBI, it's understood through alien informants, or remember, Dwight Eisenhower had two alien ambassadors he met with, but this ex-FBI agent is saying they're not physical and they come from other dimensions. Let's keep going. Oh, that year just keeps coming up. Wernher von Braun, same year, going in that same time period of that white paper we read, 1947, right after war. See, all this stuff started right after World War II. The world war is now starting to shift to a space war. They told us it was for Russia in Cold War, but now we're starting to see, no, it's for something, someone or something else. That now, no more world wars, but now a space war or Star Wars. And so having this understanding, when you understand what aliens and UFOs really are, you then have a different lens of understanding when you hear about Chinese spy balloons possibly being UFOs, 8-foot giant men landing in people's backyard with crash spacecraft. When you really understand spiritually what's going on, then you look at these things with a different lens, and not just with UFOs and aliens, but all things that are happening in the world, right? The Bible is our lens to give us a clear understanding to what's happening so we don't get caught up in the deception. And so that's similar to what he's saying. He, having this understanding, he can look at these alien so-called cases with a different lens. The Battle of Los Angeles. We're going to come back to that. Remember, keep that in mind. A lot of things we're going to come back to that are being said. Battle of Los Angeles. The military weaponry and ammunition that was being shot at these UFOs went through them, and all the bullets and missiles were crashing and exploding into each other because they were going right through these UFOs. They were there. They didn't move, but it was going right through them. He's going to explain why, how the understanding behind this. So instead of killing the UFOs, the people on the ground died from this artillery going up. Didn't kill the UFOs, but the people they're shooting in the sky, but somehow the people on the ground end up dying from the artillery. Ain't that something? Say that again. What do you say about aliens and UFOs? Aliens and UFOs are not physical. They are not like us. They're not little green men. They're not little gray men. They're not giant men crashing spaceships into the ground. Matter of fact, you shoot weapons at them, the ammunition, the artillery goes right through them. That don't sound like a craft that can crash to the ground. Or blown out the sky like with these Chinese, these so-called balloons that they're saying could be UFOs. Right. So a lot of what he's saying is right on point. We're going to go into it, but I'm going to let him keep breaking these things down. So now he's going into someone's description of this UFO, that it was filled with light and plasma. It was not a metallic shell. We're going to talk more about that here in a moment. Not just metal. So you're thinking that these UFOs are metal. You're greatly mistaken. They're not metal. Shifting state of matter. They're not solid. They're not physical. They're filled with plasma and light. Now, somebody may ask, well, what is plasma? Because I know people have plasma, which is also another term for blood. Plasma meaning energy. Energy and light is what they consist of. So imagine shooting energy and light. You're shooting at the air. You're not going to be able to hit anything shooting at energy and light with missiles, bullets. Right? Now it's starting to make sense why Ronald Reagan with this SDI program was looking to develop advanced weaponry like lasers and particle beam weapon. Now getting to energy-based weaponry. Like, oh yeah, we want to get away from nuclear weapons and get into more advanced weapon systems like lasers and particle beam weapons. Yeah, that's a reason you want to shift away from nuclear missiles with the times that we're going into. So this Mr. D'Souza is breaking it down and what these beings consist of and their vehicles consist of, plasma and light. Let's say that again. Imagine that. This UFO is 60 feet in diameter, but the person that's inside of it is walking from chamber to chamber, and each chamber is the size of a football field, which you could fit, what, 3 or 4 60-foot UFOs inside a football field? Imagine being in a 60-foot vehicle and walking in chambers the size of football field is what this person was describing in his quote-unquote abduction, right? Something not of this world. And we talk about, physical makeup. What does that sound like? That what they're calling an alien abduction. He said it's almost like a dream, but also like you're being converted into another reality. Not somebody being beamed up in a ship to be experimented on, like we've been told. Right? Interdimensional experience. All right, let's go to the next part here. I'm not going to play all of it because there's a lot more we still have to cover. We should never engage them with our military or there will be bad consequences. Now, they're telling us they're shooting alien probes out the sky now with our military. Totally contrary to what this FBI ex-agent is telling us. Again, you can believe what you want to believe, but we're hearing two different stories. So, When you know what we know scripturally, it's clear of which story makes more sense, which is the more accurate of what's happening with what we're being told with UFOs and aliens versus the more, you would say, person who's not in mainstream talking about UFOs and aliens like this gentleman here. But let's keep going here. Let's say that again. So now he's quoting Ezekiel. We're going to go into it here in a minute. Now we're really getting somewhere, right? Very interesting, right? So he talked about Ezekiel, and I want to go into Ezekiel now, and I want to talk about what he spoke about. when he mentioned and brought up Ezekiel, because now, you know, he worked his way up to the Bible with the description and describing them in a term where we could understand it from our everyday modern terminology. Because when you read Ezekiel, Ezekiel is trying to explain it in his words at the time of explanation of trying to explain these UFOs. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1 and break this down. And I want to show you all something. And then we're going to come back to and finish out and get more on this whole clearer understanding, I would say, when it comes to dealing with UFOs and aliens. So put my screen up. We have Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. And it reads here, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shabar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoshaphat's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Shabar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire unfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. So remember, this ex-FBI agent said that these UFOs were plasma and light. They were not metal. Okay, so what we're seeing here is the exact same description Ezekiel seeing coming out of the heavens here and what we're reading. And fire, right, which is a form of light, it's a form of energy. It says here, verse 5, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, right? Because we know angels have, you know, we read about angels all the time in scriptures, and they can appear like you would see a man appear, right? Be careful, for some of us have entertained angels unawares. We know Lot had angels visit him in the form of men. But check these angels out. Verse 6, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. You know, brass is like a bronze color. Okay, so they had a brownish, you know, color to them. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had, and they four had their faces and their wings. Verse 9. So not only do they have wings, meaning they can fly, but they also came in on these vehicles or these crafts that wove like a whirlwind and a fire. It says here, verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Okay, because we know that angels can shape shift and transform. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. So really, what this is what you would call a encounter of the third kind that Ezekiel is experiencing here, okay? Some people would say that this is an alien abduction, right? But this was a spiritual intervention that Ezekiel was having because Ezekiel was about to receive some deep knowledge from the heavens, right? So he had a spiritual visitation from the Most High here. It manifested itself, these angels. It says here, verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Because we know the angels are made from pure fire, right? And like the appearance of lamps. What's a lamp? A lamp is a light. Okay, so light and plasma or energy. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning, right? All kinds of energy going on. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So there goes your flash. They talk about, DC Comics, and you got your flash running, right? This is where they draw a lot of these stories from. These are not, brilliant writers. They're drawing this stuff biblically, right? Ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Right, that's where the Flash gets his name from. The reason he has thunderbolts on his mask, on the side of his head. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So let's talk about it here. So this is what you would say was similar to what Ezekiel was seeing here. Right, we're going to get to it. All this stuff hasn't been read yet, but you see, this is how the angels end, their appearance to him. And then you have your UFO, a wheel within a wheel. Okay, and there's more we're going to get on this, but just giving you a visual depiction. Okay, and remember, this is pure energy here. This is not a metal craft. This is not some type of metal UFO here. This is all energy. And I'm going to show you all something here in a moment. Let's keep going here. A wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. Verse 18, as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. Remember, he said that these, John D'Souza talked about these UFOs and these aliens operated outside one of another. Right? He was saying it's not like some creature sitting in a tin can somewhere. So these wheels are following these angels. Right, they travel together, but it's not like they have to ride inside of them, or they can't move around, right? And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Okay, so the UFOs were the vehicles were moving with these angels, whether they were on the ground or in the air, they moved with them. They accompanied them, okay? Verse 20, whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Its spirit was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Okay, so their physical representation is outside of the wheels, but their spirit is in the wheels. Verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on the other side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. All right, so let me pull this up here, and I'm going to, so you all can see this while I read. We're at verse, we're about to, almost finished here, verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about it. So you're seeing pure energy here. Right, from the heavenly realm, the heavenly hosts. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. What is the bow that appears in the cloud in the day of rain? It's a rainbow. And what is a rainbow? A rainbow is a reflection of light. It's energy. So imagine shooting a missile or a bullet at a rainbow. It's going to go right through it. Right? So that's what you're dealing with when you're trying to war against the heavenly realm. You're dealing with energy, pure energy. And so our weapons are nothing to them. It's nothing. But they're telling us that these primitive craft have flown light years across the galaxy only to be shot down by F-16s. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Okay, so some closer images of, we talk about a wheel, within the wheel, fire. Okay, and this is not metal here. It's not metal. And what you're really looking at, for those who are familiar, you're looking at a gyroscope. If we would familiar with what you would call, you know, toys or this device, a gyroscope, a wheel within a wheel. And I'm going to show it here in a moment, right? But I was trying to get a hold of a video that Elder Chapat had sent me. And this was him over in the Greek islands. And he sent me a video. This was right outside his house. This was probably 3 years ago during the lockdown. And it was what you see here on your screen in the middle. A wheel within a wheel looking just like this. And it was sitting in the sky right above his house. It was close. Like you could almost reach out and touch it. It was so close. And it was just all light. And it was glowing and flashing like fire. And it was just sitting there for what seemed like hours. Just sitting there, wasn't even moving. And it looked just like this right here or like this right here. A wheel within a wheel. And like a gyroscope, it's moving like a wheel. Let me pull that up here. When we go into the Greek Strongs and we pull up this wheel, this word here for wheel, Greek Strongs 212, Hebrew, Ophan, from an unused root meaning to revolve. All right. So this wheel that Ezekiel's seeing is revolving and moving like a gyroscope. Let me find, see how the gyroscope here is moving. Now, it may not necessarily be moving around and going in circles like that, but I'm talking about the inner workings of the gyroscope. That is how the UFOs, the chariots of the Most High, are, and they're pure energy and pure light. Okay, and I'm going to show you, and because I couldn't find this video, I reached out to Elder Ariyah because he was in the same location as Elder Shapat during the time that he sent me that video, and I thought he may have had it. And I said, man, you got that video? Me and Elder Shapat can't find it. He said, no, I don't have that. But if any of you know Elder Ariyah, he does homesteading. And he says every night at sundown, these UFOs appear in the same place every night at sundown. He was telling me they have to be coming out of portals because they come out of the same place every night at sundown, and I've recorded them, and I have footage I'll send to you. So I want to show you all this footage. Okay, so this is the footage at night, right at sundown, out on his land. Now, of course, you're trying to pick this up with a camera, so it's not always the best quality to be able to see it, okay? But you're gonna be able to get a idea here, okay? He even put some words in. There will appear a few chariots from these two directions. Every night, they always appear in the same spot, always after sundown, in those two spots. He says, watch it appear out of thin air. It just pops up out of nowhere. See it? Right there in the middle of the screen, it just pops up out of nowhere. And it just sits there, spinning like a gyroscope. And just be patient because I have some more, you know, as we keep going, you'll be able to see it better. All right, there it is right there. It's just sitting there. See how it's just sitting there? That's not a plane doesn't do that. A plane doesn't just sit there and is full of light just sitting in one space. Not moving. All right, so this is what John D'Souza is explaining are real UFOs. This is not what Hollywood would show us. They would make us believe something different, and we're going to explain why. All right, so here it is just sitting there in the middle. And I know it might be hard for you all to see, but I have some more video footage where y'all are going to be able to see it a little bit better. You got to understand it's far away. You get to have almost a telescope camera to be able to really capture it up close. And so he pans away, okay, he pans away. He comes back in a second. And when he comes back, it's gone, disappeared. It disappears. All right, in the portal, gone. And then the other one appears over here to the left. The other one disappears, and another one pops up over here. So what he's doing, he's showing you the other one is gone, right? And it's kind of hard to see because it's so far away, but you can see the little, almost like a star, almost looks like a star in the sky. And then he said it moved behind the clouds and disappeared behind the clouds, right? See how it's using the cloud for cover? And we know that the scriptures talk about it as chariots of the clouds, right? Now look, now look at it. Now you're going to be able to see it like a gyroscope. You're going to be able to see a little bit easier the up closeness of it, it moving like how a gyroscope moves. And if not this video, the next one I show you, you're really going to be able to see it. See, it's just a sphere of energy, of light. It's moving around like a gyroscope, a wheel within a wheel, just sitting there, right, disappearing into the clouds. Right, he's trying to catch it, but it's in the clouds, using the clouds kind of like camouflage. And the reason he's able to see this is because he lives outside the outskirts of the city, and so therefore, without all the bright lights and things going on in the city, you don't miss what's happening with the angelic forces and beings coming in and out of portals. Like we do living in cities, like a street light would blind this out. You wouldn't even be able to see it, right? Almost look like stars in the lower atmosphere. How stars shine. And then after a while, the one that disappeared earlier on the right pops back up in the same spot after 10 minutes. There it is. Pop right back up. And they just move like a gyroscope, a wheel within a wheel. That's not a plane. That's not a helicopter. See that? And, man, I wish I had that one that Elder Shapata sent me, because it was up close, and you could actually see the wheel within the wheel. One wheel going vertical and one wheel going horizontal. It was perfect. You could make it out. This gives us an idea how these things move, and they just sit and flash. Then, look, disappeared. Watch it just disappear. It disappears in a puff of cloud. This disappears in thin air, like disintegrates. Planes don't do that. And it's nighttime. A plane isn't finna turn its lights off while it's flying at night. Right? Like a gyroscope. So imagine that as a light in the sky, just sitting there, chilling, not moving, just still, but moving like a gyroscope full of light. That's what a real UFO is, okay? Accompanied by angels, all right? Now, there's another video. Let me pull it up here for you all of... Let me pull it up here. Another video he sent me. This one you can see a little bit better because it's nighttime. So now you're starting to see them, just a lot of them out in the sky, just like stars. Looking like fire. Look at the color. Sometimes it's like a reddish rainbow color, and then sometimes it's just like a bright like white or yellow light. Right, and now you can understand them shooting. All right, shooting at light. And killing themselves in the Battle of Los Angeles. See that? And he was describing it and saying, even when they move, it's like something he's never, I mean, it's he can't even explain in words the way they move. It's just, he said, he's seen nothing like it move like that before. And now you can understand why Ezekiel had a hard time trying to describe what he saw. It's hard to put in words. Right? And notice how they're just sitting there. They're not moving. A plane would have been moved on by now. Or a helicopter. Let me see if I can get the close-up. You got some close-ups of them. Right here. See that? Does that look like a plane to you? Does that look like a metallic flying saucer that's going to crash to you? That's like an orb, but it's a gyroscope. It's a wheel within a wheel. Okay, so look at that, like stars or look like the sun. Even the words hard to even get a good visual through camera recording on them. You know, our technology just can't replicate what they look like when you're seeing it with your naked eye versus taking it with the camera. All right, so that gives you an idea. I want to go back now to how that, you know, we've heard the FBI ex-agent break out the book of Ezekiel and his description at the, you know, tail end of describing these UFOs. But we, you know, we still have a lot more to cover here because we're just now getting into the aliens and the UFO true understanding of what they are. Versus what we're being told they are, and is there a fake alien invasion coming? So when he says malevolent, what he's saying is that there are good UFOs or aliens and there are bad ones. And he's saying the 13 royal family bloodlines, you know, the Nephilim bloodlines, those that are the powers that shouldn't be that rule this earth, are communicating with the malevolent aliens or the evil. He said there's good ones and there's bad ones, basically. All right. So we know we have the angels, which fight for our cause. And then you have the demons, which are fighting against us or looking to have us be hosts for them. And so the antichrist of the world, those at the top that rule over us, that are the billionaires and all those, they're communicating, and this is where they're getting all their intel from. They're not geniuses. They're getting all their intel from the malevolent aliens. Right? There goes Eisenhower. He's talking about that Washington Post article we read earlier where Eisenhower was supposed to have communicated with two extraterrestrial aliens. Okay. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But we know that they are communicating with them. Right? We're all communicating with something spiritual, whether good or bad, all the time. So he's saying that the elite of the world met with these malevolent aliens, the demonic angelic forces or the demons, and made a deal in exchange for the fallen angel technology, which is what these demons are giving the elite. You give us bodies, sacrifices. Say that again. Where are all the missing bodies? Right? It's not enough milk cartons to put missing bodies on. They used to put it on milk cartons. They didn't even put them on milk cartons no more. It's too many bodies that are just people are just disappearing because they must offer sacrifices to their gods for the technology, for the power over us. And this is your real alien abduction, right? People being snatched up and brought to the gods to be sacrificed and done horrible, unspeakable things to them before and after death. And you got to think that the CERN technology to where now they're creating portals, how easy is it for you to just create a portal in someone's house and an entity come through and snatch them through a portal and take them off somewhere, never to be seen or found again, right? I mean, it's just in this possibilities to what's happening and what way it's happening. Now, again, you'll be able to watch this on your own. The full interview, I want to get now to the end game to all this because some people may get lost up in just what's being said and just the alien part, but this all connects. This all connects. Let's see where this all is connecting us to. Now, this interview was like 2020, 2021. End of 2020, beginning of 2021 when this interview took place, just so y'all can understand the timeline here. Here comes the connection. So somebody may say, well, what does all this alien UFO stuff got to do with anything? Check the connection out, family. He said, if they're unsuccessful with the pandemic and subjugating us, they're going to roll right into their next plan, which is what? A fake alien invasion. Now, you look at your screen here, and someone made a very, very, I would say, on point collage here of timelines of years, 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023, dangling like you're hypnotizing somebody. In 2020 with the COVID virus, that was the talk of the year that they tried to hypnotize people with and were successful because it led into the next hypnosis, which was their solution in 2021, which was the jab, COVID shot. Then from there, they rolled right into 2022 with the Ukraine-Russia war narrative. When we show people chilling on the beach in Ukraine in the height of this so-called war, which, you know, you don't hear anything about it on a day-to-day. You may hear something maybe once a week. They'll put some story out. There's no real war going on there, not to the level of what we're being told the war is. Right, and there goes your big bad boogeyman Russia that they've been using since right after World War II. And then rolling into 2023, they would roll right into the next that he's saying is going to way surpass the what they did in 2020 with COVID. Fake alien invasion. Fake alien invasion. Now, that's what he's saying. The scripture says in the mouth of two or more witnesses. We'll see if we can get some more witnesses to side with him on this idea.